Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plotsky, and what a dreadful town. If we're doing the Coney Island Waltz, then before the performance, I ask you, dear old friend, look into your heart, because till I hear you sing, I'll ask, are you ready to begin? Beneath a moonless sky, it's been 10 long years, so if the devil takes the hindmost, then the bathing beauty will get an invitation to the concert. Even though it's the beauty underneath, she'd say, Mother, did you watch? Why does she love me? Oh, only for you. Ah, Christine, I want to go back. Play out. Joining us today, the usual love never dies when the Phantom confronts Christine, including Kevin. Why does she love me, Jaeger?
I don't know. I'll never know why she loves me.
Kimberly, our once upon another time game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Well, time travel.
And with us is a favorite guest of ours. You may have seen her in Candide or as Christine in Phantom of the Opera or on the tour of Love Never Dies as Christine and her slew of incredible opera awards and credits. Her voice is crazy, wild, and amazing. You can hear her and see her in Phantom of the Opera as Christine when it returns to Broadway. Let's give a big Broadway said welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show,
Megan Pacherno. Welcome. I don't think I'd ever done Love Never. This is your first time on the podcast by yourself, by the way.
Have I always
really?
Oh, it's true. It was Jay and John before.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought I had done Love Never Dies before because we had you, and that's the obvious choice because we've done Phantom before, and we did Candide with Jay, and like I was like so thrilled to be able to do Love Never Dies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Plus, it's been a moment. That was literally like years ago now.
Yeah. Well, I saw you in Connecticut, I think.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Broadway. So welcome to Broadway so for the first time by yourself.
Oh my God, solo debut.
Yes, this is so. Here's a perfect related question. Okay. Is this your Broadway-sized debut? Is it still your Phantom debut?
No.
I would agree. So this is like a remounting of a production. So it's like this is like time for Broadway. Yeah, are you reviving Phantom? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. but before we get into that, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Okay, do you want to know or should I make something up?
Yeah, tell us what you're actually drinking. It's totally okay.
Okay, so today I can't be as fun in that arena. I am drinking grapefruit sparkling water because I cannot have an alcoholic beverage this evening due to vocal singing and all things acrobatics tomorrow.
I love that.
Well, we'll make up for it because I am drinking Original Sin Black Widow cider with blackberries and apples. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I have a Chardonnay from Hess in my favorite glass ever. I was going to say, that's a fancy glass. It's like my favorite. It just has this like etchings all over and it's a fun little shape.
Is Hess like a grocery store?
No, it's a vineyard in Napa.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, don't they have like Hess trucks?
Yeah, those are gas stations.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the two are related, but wouldn't that be funny?
What I thought. I was like, is Kimberly telling us she's drinking gas station wine? Which, like, I'm here for if that's what you want to do, girl.
That's called Chateau Diana, and I don't think I'm above it.
Kevin, while she looks that up, what are you drinking?
So I am drinking Ojo de Tigre.
The whole bottle?
Yes, the whole thing. It is a artisanal mezcal. And we were sent this, so I'm going to try it out and see how it is because I haven't tasted it yet. So this is the first little tasty taste.
Okay. This is the debut of Ojo de Tigre.
Oh, it's good.
Eye of the Tiger mezcal?
It has like a smokiness, but like a honey sweetness to it too. Like, this is delicious. Like, I would make this in a mixed drink or drink it on the rocks like I am now. It's lovely.
You have to sing cool. "Eye of the Tiger," and you can pretend that you're Rocky.
See,
okay.
Ojo de Tigre. Bap, 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 bap. It's so good, and I'm really into it.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, Megan. We love having you. So, speaking of back, you're, you know, coming back to Phantom. Phantom's coming back. I guess, like, Kimberly, did you figure it out?
I can't tell. I don't think you're related.
I guess talk about the process now, because, like, I don't know, you've done it for a while, and then obviously things stopped, and you and John actually talked about that on a previous podcast. So talk about kind of getting back into it. I mean, this show has been consecutively running since the mid-80s, and it stopped. Like, does this feel like another opening for it? Like, what's the rehearsal process? Is it, like, is it being cleaned up? Like what's kind of happening in the Phantom world? Because it's, I mean, it's beloved by so many people. Tons of people are going to come back and see it. This is the thing that they want. This is what Broadway means to them. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be honest, part of the answer to that is I'm not quite sure. We'll know exactly what's going on once we get into rehearsal. I can tell you that we head into rehearsal officially. I just got my email with the schedule yesterday. So
that's awesome.
End of the month, 2 weeks from now. Again, knock on all the woods, cross everything. It's scheduled in there. Principals, we have our first music rehearsal. I do think something, you're right. I mean, since the first time ever since it's been created and then premiered on Broadway, this is the first time ever that you're having a full rehearsal process for the entire company. So I am really excited about that, because that's pretty magical, right? I mean, it's interesting because I'm used to building a show. This was the first time I ever came in as a replacement, and I was the only one that came in right at that moment. So I was like new girl on campus.
Sure.
Whether you're a lead or not, you know, I mean, the show has been going on longer than all of us have been born. So what's really cool is the company will have an opportunity to bond. I love the rehearsal process. So it's kind of where you really, there's just like, you make connections with people in ways that you would never make it just by being in the show. So I'm really excited about that. And I mean, it's a reopening, you know, there's going to be so much emotion. I mean, I just had my costume fitting, 3 days ago? And I knew that I was going to, you know, I would probably have a tear. No, I was a disaster, because like I did my normal like routine without even knowing it. Like I went to the Starbucks I go to, and like as I was at Starbucks and picked up my coffee, I was like, and I was like, oh God, it's starting already. I was like, oh my God, what? Like, and then like on my walk to the stage door, I was like, oh God, like tears. And then like going down the alley of trash, that is our stage door, more tears.
Sure.
And then like seeing the doorman, and then seeing the chandelier, seeing our costumers, our wardrobe crew. Like so it's going to be so incredibly emotional that I think the entire time, honestly. And I can tell you that it is going to be the brilliant original. So now we will be the only Phantom that will be in existence that is the original that's been happening. So that's also kind of exciting that, you know, we're keeping our entire orchestra, you know, state cleanup wise. I couldn't tell you, like, there might be a little bit of zhuzhing. I don't know. Don't quote me.
Sure.
It would be things that like needed some cleanup. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to really get back on stage with John and Ben and the entire company. Mm-hmm. Like we all miss each other. Like, you know,
sure.
Now, it's been so long. Do you remember what happens at the end?
Good question.
Christine takes the boat and rows away, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. To Coney Island.
No. Yeah. That's the other thing too, is it's been so long that, you know, most of us haven't been off from work like this ever in our lives, you know? And so there's something to be said. Of course it's exciting, but I would say, at least for me, it's a mixed bag. You know, I'm excited, but I'm nervous. I feel like, you know that movie, The Replacements, where they're like, gotta get in shape again. Like that's literally how I'm feeling. Like I have a personal trainer, shout out Ben, love you. I'm training, like getting back in shape, also vocally, just everything. Like
you've
been doing like a interesting, weird world and surreal world of like these Zoom performances, which is better than nothing, but you know, you like half sing and you're like, la 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 la. So to actually be in front of an audience or like to stand up and sing. Like,
sure.
Everything. It's going to be a trip, you know? Like, but we'll get back into it.
Well, when it comes specifically to Christine, so we've talked about this before on the podcast. You've played two different versions of her. You've played the young Christine, the fresh eyed, you know, getting into this world in Phantom, and then you've played the older Christine, who, you know, has all that baggage with her, you know, and has a lot of things to work through when it comes to her relationships and In Love Never Dies.
But who also had an amazing workout routine that looks so great with a son that old.
Yeah, actually, they cut the personal trainer from Love Never Dies.
Right, there was definitely a personal trainer there.
It's actually, the original name was Cardio Never Dies. But I guess, like, do you feel like this is a third version of Christine because of how much, like, you've gone through, the world has gone through, what the show means to people? I guess, how are you, because you've already created this Christine character, like obviously you haven't started rehearsals, but going into this, is there something else that you feel like you're bringing to it?
Absolutely, like 1,000,000,000%. It's funny, I was just talking to Chris about this. Oh, that's my big sis that we all know. You know, the world has gone through such a transformation this past year and a half, and I know I am not the same person I was a year and a half ago, and I would buy to say that most people are not. You know, there's a lot, even like my story of me like crying the whole way, like there's a lot to unpack that I think a lot of us, this is really a traumatic event that's been going on for all of us around the world, and there are silver linings, but it is traumatic. So there are many things that I don't even know yet that need to be unpacked emotionally and mentally, also for your soul. So actually, to be really honest, I am excited to go back as Christine because I think I have a better understanding of her vulnerability, her sense of abandonment, her sense of being alone. You know, I there's something about that fragility of her that I understand, I think, a lot more. Also, losing people. I lost not even several. I lost many people to COVID this past year. So the sense of loss, the sense of needing hope, needing fantasy, wanting the best for humanity, I think these are issues that I very much am feeling more than ever right now, due to what's been happening. And also how music is healing me and the rest of the world. I mean, there's such a hunger and thirst for live theater and music that Phantom, that's also her. That's also Christine, you know, she needs music to live. And so again, like, I think there's something really important to say that, yes, she is a teenager. She's 17, 18, but we have to remember that she is an 18-year-old that's at turn of the century going into the 1900s, right? That's mm-hmm. not an 18-year-old in 2022.
Sure.
21. You know what I mean? Like, literally, like, 18 now is, like, 30. Like, like the maturity level. Do you know what I mean? So the issues that young Christine was dealing with, I feel like me, Megan, now understand some of those, and especially what we just went through, because she has a lot of trauma, actually. So
totally.
Yeah. And again, the fragility, and I think the vulnerability, I think there's going to be, for me, I was doing like an ego check kind of, and it's really going to be about the storytelling, not just about beautiful music. I mean, the music is amazing, right? But like, mm-hmm. really, I think there's going to be that part of it that I found a challenge to access sometimes. It's very much on the, like, it's right there on the surface for me. So I'm really excited to go back into it with that in mind.
Now, do you think there's something interesting to be said about the fact that the Phantom is the original social distancer who also is constantly wearing a mask, even when we weren't? Do you think that'll be something you'll unpack in this new production?
I mean, all those signs in Times Square, man. Do as the Phantom does. Wear your mask.
Those are so good.
They're so good.
They're so good.
What little thing are you most excited for? Obviously, there's getting back on stage, telling a story, singing, performing, but like, what little things that are like your things that you're like very excited to get back to?
I'm really excited. You know, all those like strange little backstage, like everyone's got their little journey behind the stage of like, I always mm-hmm. have to high five this way to that person and this person I call Buttercup and that person I like. all those weird little things backstage. I'm really excited for that. I truly am super pumped, one, to hear the overture. That always gets
sure.
But I actually really am, like, to hear it through the speakers and you're like, and then to rear the corner in the boat. It's funny,
sure.
Like, I never really, and this is not ego, I just never really understand how, like, I mean, of course, I understood the idea of how profound it is, that moment, but, like, now, I, like, really can't wait for, like, Ben and I are in the boat, and all of a sudden, it's, like, the smoke and the candles and the, oh, and you get to see the audience, like, that moment, I need to cry a lot during rehearsal so I can keep it together for opening.
Sure, yeah, let it all out.
I have a random question.
Yes.
So Kimberly and I recently got to see
because your previous questions were right on target.
Right on track. But I was actually gonna bring this same thing up. So yeah, I'm excited
those,
to think.
Those
you
were
are.
All hard-hitting journalism, but this one is a little bit more far-fetched. So Kimberly and I recently got to see the documentary The Show Must Go On, which was about the two Andrew Lloyd Webber shows that were still happening in South Korea.
Yes.
During the pandemic. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the Phantom of the Opera tour that you had originally been on, correct?
Yes, that is the tour that I opened. So those are my peeps too. That were, I mean, some of them had left by the time they were in Korea, but yeah, that was our cast, the world.
Were you in contact with any of those people during that time and talk about, like, what was going on?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they're also on the other side of the world. So, like, it's fun. Like, you know, you're on that 12, 14-hour difference. But, oh, yeah, I mean, so many of them are my really good friends. So constant contact while they were there. It was surreal watching them kind of have this bubbled life as if they were untouched by what was going on. Even though, like, they had a lot of protocol, you know, everything else was standing still. And they were actually still going. It was wild, wild.
And was that the Christine in their tour? Has she been the one that took over for you?
Yes, in Korea it was. She left before Taiwan, but The Show Must Go On, I think, was talking about when they were in Korea.
It was just
yeah,
Korea.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay, so yes, she was the one that took over for me. Yes.
God, what a crazy thing, like, that just happened in the world where it was like your show was being done somewhere else, but you weren't doing it in New York City, but, like, the height of where it is.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, at the same time, like, you would live vicariously through them, and also you're like, I wish I was doing that, or you were just like, thank goodness, like, somewhere's doing something. And then, or sometimes, honestly, from a frustrating standpoint, you'd be like, look, they're able to make it work in Korea. Get your shit together, America. Like, we can do this if we can do this right, but, you know, we didn't.
Also, when Kevin and I saw that, it was just like the weirdest full circle moment of the pandemic, because the last show that we had seen together, like Broadway musical, was Phantom.
Yeah, it was you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gosh,
and was the first time I had ever seen Phantom on Broadway. So it was the first time I'd ever been in the Majestic. It was the last Broadway theater I had been in, and then it was the first one
I
returned to.
And then stepping in to, like, say goodbye to pandemic and be around people again to, like, celebrate Broadway coming back was such a cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like this very odd bookend.
With fellow Christine Allie Ewalt, she performed at the end of the show as well.
Yes, I think, yeah, I was out of, I sadly couldn't be there because I was out of town then, but because I was performing in Oklahoma City. And, but yeah, there were, and also some of the world tour. They were singing as well. So I thought that was really magical for them to be able to be on stage and have that moment, because now, quite frankly, it's flipped on its head. They were supposed to be performing in China and now they can't. And now we're reopening. It's such a strange.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's public. That's public that they were supposed to be in China, but yeah.
Yeah, that is public. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So now they're the ones that can't go back to work, and we are opening up. It's just so strange. So strange how the world works, you know? So, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we've figured out how the world works in one specific place.
Oh, no.
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's corner.
Okay.
Is that supposed to be the Star Wars theme?
No, I was standing in the park with George.
No.
But it has gotten a little
different. It doesn't work over Zoom. Let's not pretend anymore.
Okay, so Megan. Since I know that you love yourself, your special coffee orders from Starbucks, today we're going to play a fun little game where I am going to tell you a character from a Broadway show, and you're going to tell me what their coffee order would be and why. So we'll start with one easy for you.
I'm really nervous right now.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. Oh, the Phantom.
Yes. What kind of?
You were telling me what show it was from. I'm like, oh,
the Phantom. I was like, oh God, she's going blank on the guy in her show.
No, the Phantom. I feel like would just be black coffee.
Yeah.
Why?
Totally.
Easy. It's done. It's there. It's like what he needs. He can get on with his life.
You could spray it in somebody's face if you need to. Yeah, perfect for Phantom.
Exactly. Yes.
Glinda from Wicked.
Who?
Galinda from Wicked.
Galinda. Oh, she'd have something like, she would have a drink, I feel like, that's like a Frappuccino with 3 squirts of caramel syrup and a little bit of cream, but make it fat-free and, there'd be like a list of things, I feel like.
Yeah. She would be that girl they saw walk in and be like, oh, God.
I had one of those actually like 3 days ago and I was like, here's a nightmare that everyone like. But God bless.
Grisabella the cat.
Oh. I'm trying to think of a sad coffee.
it's like I'll have a coffee with milk. Hold the coffee, please.
Oh, they're out.
Oh, that was good, Brian. Well, I can't say that one now.
You say whatever you want.
Or they're out of whatever she wanted, so
she needs.
Oh, she only has
or they gave her what she wanted, but it's by mistake decaf.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if I should stick it in. Okay, you know what? George from Sunday in the Park with George.
Affogato.
That's a good choice. Tracy Turnblatt from Hairspray.
Oh, she'd have something fun. You know what? She would have something, I feel like cappuccino with extra foam with a little bit of cinnamon and maybe like chocolate on the rim.
Love that. Tina from the Tina Turner musical.
So Tina Turner.
Yes.
to clarify.
You could probably Google her coffee order, Kevin.
She'd have something like, I don't know my drinks from Starbucks because I'm such a boring person. I literally get black coffee. That's my drink. Maybe a matcha latte with something special. Oh, no. A cold brew that has the fun pumpkin like cream in it.
Oh, pumpkin cold foam cold brew.
I tried that once. Very good, but I was way too caffeinated and sugar high from it, so I can.
It's a lot. It's you a need lot. A tall.
It's a choice.
No, banned.
Shrek from Shrek the Musical.
Oh well, he should have had matcha. Shrek. I don't know my Starbucks drinks. Maybe he would have like a Teavana.
Ooh, okay. And
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
The last question is a two-part answer.
Okay.
It's Christine in The Phantom, and then Christine in Love Never Dies.
Well, you know she's going to need something stronger for that second one. okay, so for Christine, well, Christine in the first one, I would say probably something decaf, like super chill, small, like, you know, maybe just like a latte. No, you know what?
Oh my God, a little latte?
Exactly, little latte. That's what I was thinking.
I'm obsessed.
And then Christine in Love Never Dies would have, listen, she needs some chocolate, so I'll give her a mocha.
You know that's going to have some Irish whiskey in it too, because that poor girl goes through so much.
Listen, you know what? I have no comment, but yes.
So. Amazing. And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Woo!
Do you think
that yes.
Since they're reopening the Phantom with you in it, does that mean that, like, in the history books of, like, who originally played Christine, your name will be written, like, right next to Sarah Brightman's?
No, like, I don't I don't think so, but we are the COVID cast, so I don't know. Maybe we'll get one in the books.
Oh, totally. Oh,
yeah, someone change Wikipedia immediately.
What if they call it a revival and then you win a Tony?
Like, you know, that would be amazing, and that's so not going to happen.
No.
One can dream.
Can you imagine if just every show that came back was just eligible again?
That would be wild.
It would be insane.
How amazing would that be, though? I mean, you know, if we're going to get reviewed, we might as well have a shot at another Tony. Although that would, but technically someone, can you get a,
it's the same production, so it's not like anything has changed.
Are you really getting reviewed again?
I don't know. I think. No, maybe not. Oh, I hope not. I hope so. I don't know. You know, I
I love that.
I kind of imagine that they.
We'll review it. Yeah, Phantom is back. Go see it.
You know what? You know, with the review thing, though, part of me is just like, I can't help but be like, okay, guys, like, we've all been off work for a year and a half because our job has literally been illegal. Can we just, like, reopen and have community and, like, do our jobs and, like, be amazing?
Sure.
Being like, so-and-so, well, you tried this, blah. You know, like, I don't know. So we'll see. I don't know if we are or not. Maybe we're not. Was Hadestown and Waitress reviewed?
Actually, I didn't see anything.
I don't think they were reviewed. It was more just, like, news coverage of them reopening.
See, that's what I think it should be, truly. Just, like, yes. Real good energy to get everyone back to Broadway. Truly.
Nobody needs to be, like, saying catty things about shows. We just want people... We want people to come back and have faith that they can come back and enjoy a Broadway show.
We'll do that behind the scenes, not in print.
Yes.
But like even shows that are new, like Six and Doubtfire, like things that are coming back that haven't been reviewed yet, it'll be very interesting to see how they're treated. Like I would prefer that everything is just like how great their jobs are back. Because how dare you give a bad review and close a show right now?
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. It's kind of like, yo, like, let's have some compassion here and work together. And I agree. Like, let's have news coverage and, like, celebrate that we're all coming back. Because it's been a hell of a year and a half. And it's still not over. So.
Yeah.
I feel like, although every review right now is just going to be like, I cried through the whole thing because I was just so happy to be there.
I hope so. Like, that's a fine review with me. But, yeah, if the nitpickiness is going to be like, wow, you guys suck if that's really what's going to happen. Because, like. Yeah, I hope it's really, like, nice of spirit and just celebrating us coming back because we're all a little rusty. We're all very vulnerable and, like, you know.
So I will say, I think something that would help the review for Phantom is if you get to wear that peacock dress from Love Never Dies, the entirety of Phantom of the Opera.
Climbing the ladder.
I was going to say, you could climb and be on the roof and all that stuff in that dress, right?
Holy shit.
That wasn't heavy.
Funny you say that because when I tried on my costumes, like, of course, like, I know how much they weigh, but I haven't had them on for so long that I tried them on and immediately I had actually a training session after that. And I was like, we need to strengthen my back right away because I was like, those things are. I was like, whoa. So.
Yeah, those dresses are no joke.
They're no joke. They are no joke. Yeah. And
I just can't imagine like having like that much weight on your body and then being like, all right, now use your diaphragm and sing these high notes, please.
Well, I mean, here's another reality. I am 5'2 on like a super tall, I did aerial yoga upside down Pilates day. So like between that and like my weight, like that's like the bustle alone on the wedding dress is 35 pounds. on my butt for that dress. So it's time to go to CrossFit.
And is that what you sing point past the point of no return in?
No, luckily that's Amnita dress. So
she's
you know, boobs out.
Right.
Yep.
Which is also really fun when you have to breathe.
Actually, that I don't mind.
Oh, really?
No, I just saw a fan comment somewhere that was like, I love a busty Christine. I'm so, like, I was like, you're welcome. I'll take what I can get.
I love a busty Christine. That's amazing.
That's so funny.
And it wasn't creepy. It was literally like, oh, thank God. And I was like, okay, well.
I will say they have had a lot of like smaller frame girls who did not that it matters, but like they've just had like more dancer sized girls in there.
Kevin. No, I'm kidding.
No, Anjanou can turn into like waify really fast.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Italian and I'm curvy. Let's face it, the Il Muto pants were not made for someone with a butt. So it's, you know, it's fine. Luckily,
oh, really?
Let those out though. So
do you have a favorite costume that you're like excited to wear again?
Actually, I love the Amanita dress. The one that's past the point of no return. And then the wedding dress and also the Star Princess dress. Those are my three favorites, which apparently is weird. Apparently, the blue dress is most Christine's favorite.
Oh, what's really?
What's the star
that's just
dress?
Like just kind of a dress. The blue dress.
Masquerade dress. I love how froofy it is. Like,
oh, that one's really pretty.
And fun. Yeah, it's gorgeous. But yeah, I love... Those are my three favorite ones.
And that one also isn't, that's not floor length, right? So it's probably a little like less heavy to wear.
Exactly. I think that's probably why there's another one. Like I enjoy that one because I can like spin around and there's also like lots of things. There's sparkles on it. There's a lot to look at with that one too.
You don't miss the 300-pound wishing you were somehow here again cape.
Oh, that cape. God bless.
It's so beautiful, but every time I've seen Phantom, I feel like I watch every Christine like try to lift the hood past their face.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's actually, there's magnets on the side to try to keep it in place. But inevitably, like, if you move, one's off, and then it, like, it's around your neck, and you're like, losing it! Like, so, there's going to be, actually, no, I have to say, disclaimer, truly, when I saw all the costume again, I was like, holy shit, these are so beautiful. Like, they are so detailed. But my arch nemesis is the dressing room gown. That thing. It's beautiful, but I forgot because you have to do like choreography with it to make sure, like, when you're running in the first layer, that you're like, I'm not going to trip. I'm not going to trip.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Oh,
my nemesis, that thing. I forgot.
And it looks like just like the, I just threw this on.
No, it's literally like, Megan's going to slip. Megan.
There has been on TikTok, like, all. I'm trying to think it was like all quarantine because I don't know how long it is taking this person to make this, but there are a bunch of cosplayers on TikTok, but one person has been making a star, like an exact replica Star Princess dress for like 6 months. And she'll just do like update on the Star Princess dress.
I mean,
like I found the perfect thing and it looks so good.
I don't know how they do that. I literally got one bad grade my whole life. It was in home economics and it's because I cannot sew a button onto anything. So that the fact that someone's like, I'm making a full Star Princess dress is just like mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And I think it like lights up, or was that someone at Broadway Con we saw that had a light up one?
Wow.
And I'm,
I mean,
like,
I'm excited to see the cosplay fans because I'm sure they're gonna come out, which
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be amazing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
On that note, should we play a game?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You know, as I was playing a game, I was like, Megan's been on this show before. Have I made this game already? How's this existed? And then I went back and I listened to the games we played the last time you were on in May of like 2020, very early pandemic.
5 years ago.
After I'd already made up this game. And then as I'm like walking up, I'm like, okay, cool. So we haven't done this game before. It'll work. And I just hear you say in your past life, you guys are so good at writing these fake musicals and I'm so bad at it. And I went, oops, that's what we're doing. So
I just got massive agita. Oh my God.
But it's much easier. So basically, I just have ghost stories because as you're listening to this, it is almost Halloween. So I figured we could tell some ghost stories. We have the Phantom of the Opera, obviously. So I have two categories that we'll pick from when it's your turn, a type of ghost and a type of like event one might go to akin to the opera. And so you'll get two of these things. So you'll get like the, huh?
Well, this is why a buddy's good. Cause I can be like, call on a buddy,
but now we're your buddies today. We're helping. But so you'll get like, I don't know, the ghost of the rodeo, and then you'll make up a musical about how that might work. If you need any help at all, I do have, because I'm at my parents' house, a binder full of playbills. So I'm happy to like spin through, and then you can use whoever wrote whatever show comes up or whoever's in that show to cast stuff if you need some random help.
I just saw what happened with the coffee. I was like, so,
Kevin, do you want to go first?
I love it.
Perfect. Just pick two numbers, 1 through 4.
2 and 3.
Perfect. Kevin will be telling us the story of the poltergeist of the recital.
Okay. So the poltergeist of the recital is, it's the story of a obnoxious teen who gets forced by their mom, who owns this dance recital, to always be the backstage person that's, like, keeping the kids in line. And, like, she totally hates this job. But then, like, comically, like, the stage gives out, and she falls through the stage and, like, dies and becomes the poltergeist. But she's stuck, like, having to, like, haunt the backstage. And it's this whole craziness where she's, like, the poltergeist haunting it and, like, ruining the recitals. And everybody's like, oh, no, oh, no. But then, like, her mom and her, like, come to terms with each other once she's dead. And so she agrees to be, like, the helpful poltergeist. So, like, she still does the same job she was supposed to do. But now she does it as, like, a cheery ghost instead of, like, a teenage girl.
I like how full circle that was.
Great.
And that's the poltergeist in the recital.
Brian?
Sure.
Two numbers, 1 through 4.
Four and four.
The spirit of the pageant.
Okay, sure. Okay, so the spirit of the pageant is that, you know, we're at this fair, this Renaissance fair, and there's a pageant.
What kind of pageant is on the Renaissance fair? Wait, I shouldn't judge because I don't know what I'm
going to
say.
No, let's
judge. Always judge.
Let's judge. What kind of pageant, Brian?
Yeah, it is a milkmaid pageant, and the milkmaid pageant is for
you're going to be doing later that we don't need to know about.
Yeah, it's a milkmaid pageant, and all of the it's an annual tradition at this fair of this town, and it is what we find out happening is that it's the 100th anniversary of the first pageant, but no one really talks about the first pageant. And what we find is that all of these women who are in the pageant start to act really weird one by one every time they go up, and we're not really sure what's happening, and it's spooky dooky. And then the opening of Act Two is a flashback to the first pageant, where we find out that something has gone amiss there, and one of the girls had died, and the spirit of that girl is infesting all of the current girls, looking for the perfect body and host to win the pageant. So this spirit is circling through all of them, looking for the best host, and it all ends with the spirit showing herself and winning just as she is, because it's all, you just have to be who you are. You don't need to take over someone else's body.
She's milky white because she's a spirit, so then she's obviously the milkmaid queen.
No, she's just very good at milking cows.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, she's just like very skilled at it. And part of the reason why she was murdered mid-pageant is because all the other girls were jealous of her natural beauty and her natural milking skills. And she was also hit in the head by a cow.
Oh, right. Yeah. Her natural milking skills.
Well, the other girls had the cow kick her in the head.
they like coerced the cow? Like, did they badmouth her to the cow who then kicked her in the head?
Yeah, well, they
find a mean cow and they tricked her into being near it.
They found a mean cow and they also, you know, were poking the cow while she was doing it on the other side.
Is this cow related to the horse who took out the girl?
Same farm.
The pony kicked her.
Yeah.
I don't care if Victoria Clark is actually in this musical. I want there to be a voiceover of her saying, the cow kicked her.
Well, Victoria Clark plays the voice of the spirit.
Oh, duh.
Oh,
yeah.
The cow kicked me is what the line is. Yes.
Yeah. And there's a big number with spirits that's done in holograms. It's super cool. It's the newest. It's the biggest technological advancement of our time in musicals. Holographic numbers.
Yep. I love it.
I love it.
Right, Megan,
and everyone gets milk at intermission. Oklahoma can give you chili. My milkmaid pageant musical is going to give you milk.
No one talks about Lori's natural chili skills. Like,
I don't know. Did you see the same musical I did? Because there were a lot of things happening below the surface there.
That's true. They might have actually talked about that. I didn't really know.
Gosh, I never saw that, actually. I never saw the revival or the chili. Aye.
If you just put on the movie in the background and do some acid, you'll have seen the musical.
It's going back on tour, so you can always find a
bunch of.
And you know what? Broadway shows are reopening that like closed before, so like maybe they'll reopen. Like you never know. Rules are out of the window.
Hey, but
there are no rules.
Look, I am single and ready to mingle, especially after this pandemic. And chili is a non-date food, and so is milk. Actually, so like neither of those would go for me.
How about cornbread?
Imagine going on a date where you're just like, let's just go to an all-you-can-eat chili restaurant.
Oh, God.
With
ice. And never see each other again.
And an all-you-can-eat chili musical?
Oh. All right, Megan, would you like a turn?
You can do it.
Okay. I am getting nervous. I feel like the one acting class I ever took in my entire life where you have to do improv, and I was like, okay, one.
Just both ones?
Yeah.
Snake
the
eyes.
Banshee of the Choir Concert.
I mean,
that's it.
The Banshee of the Choir Concert. Oh my gosh, I'm so tainted right now, though, because I've been watching Evil, the show Evil. So now
sure.
I'm like, how do I not? Okay, the Banshee. Banshee. I do love a good Banshee. Shit. Oh wait, can I swear? I can't swear.
Yeah. You're fine.
This is season two, baby. You can do whatever you want here on Broadway, Sid.
Right. Okay, so we can really alter. Okay, Banshee of the Choir. Oh, man, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the Banshee is the savior, actually. We're going to flip it. Also, I've been watching The Motherland, which is about like witches who are soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I feel like the Banshee, actually, you think that she is the bad guy, but she's not. Because it's the little shits that are in the choir that are evil, and they're the ones that need saving. And so it's like a situation where, like, the head of the choir is one of those people, you know? Like, they never made it, and they wish they had, and so they're trying to live through the entire choir. So instead what they do is they punish everyone that's not, like, singing well, and, like, all the people are really sad. The Banshee comes out and tries to sing, but her voice was taken by the very choir master that made a deal with the devil in order to become the head of this choir. But at the end, I don't know. I feel like it's somewhere in
this
there.
This is great.
And but you know, I don't know. Does it have a happy ending or does it not? I feel. Maybe. I don't know what happens in the middle. You guys can figure that out. But I feel like at the end. Then what happens is the choir master's soul gets dragged down to hell, and then the Banshee is freed and can actually, like, sing the heavenly angels. See, this is really evil. That's, like, what's coming out right now.
Yeah, I like it.
I saw something about, like, a demon, so it's something in that range. But I do like the idea of a Banshee.
She asked you to make a musical about a Banshee. It's okay if it's a little dark.
Yeah, it's true.
Kimberly, do you use the last ones?
Yeah, so the last ones, I'll give you the Demon of the Ballet.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
That's kind of like Phantom.
It is kind of like Phantom. maybe he has a red mask and they do, but only ballet, no opera. The demon of the ballet is, I'm trying to think of a way where like the demon is the point shoes.
Oh.
And he just like takes over a shoe. It's like the red shoes, but the red shoes are a demon. And so whoever puts on the red shoes.
That was a TV show. That was crazy. I saw this.
Wait, was it?
Yes. What is it from?
Is it just an episode of Evil?
Sabrina. The young one. She's like, it's that. And like the dancer like can't stop dancing. And then she like literally spins herself into blood. Like everything is.
Wow.
Oh, insane. So it's that.
Great.
I love it. Sabrina the Musical.
Yeah. But they say Masquerade at the end of that TV show.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Fun.
Fun fact.
Did you get called in to sing it for them?
Yeah.
Great.
No.
I was like, that's a good job for you. Good job. You should totally sing Phantom on most Netflix shows.
Yeah, I mean...
What would be the best Netflix show to randomly see Megan pop up singing Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again? This is a question for Broadwasted.
Stranger Things.
Oh, that's a good one. Kimberly?
I'm like... I'm trying to think of something ridiculous, like Love is Blind.
Yeah. My real answer is Stranger Things. My wild answer is
it's a date on Love is Blind.
Yeah.
And now to perform for you while you dance alone in the center of the room.
The Circle.
Yeah. Wait, just someone's pretending to be Megan on The Circle.
Well, I was just thinking about like Nailed It. But they're trying to make a cake out of Megan as she's singing. So, like, they're using her as inspiration.
That went real dark. Is that part of the Milk musical?
No. Like they're trying to make a cake replica of you. Not, like, make you into a cake.
Oh.
Or Lupin?
Looks like you.
Lupin
takes place in France?
Yeah, that works, too.
Money Heist?
Money. Army of the Dead?
Just put you into the Rudy Runs of the Mole.
Lotus.
Yes, in White Lotus. Actually, yes, probably.
Probably, actually, yeah.
That probably would have happened.
Well, on that note, that does bring us to the end of our episode. We can't wait to see you. We can't wait to see you on The Circle. And Nailed It. But thank you so much for joining us. We always love having you, and we're happy to have you back by yourself again. But as a reminder, October 22nd is the return of Phantom of the Opera. Grab your tickets. See Megan. She's wonderful. And she's only going to be better. And so we're super excited for you to enter back into that and for Phantom to join the Broadway community once again. Thank you so much for joining us, Megan. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I love you guys.
Yay.
You know, because I felt no longer scared. I felt no longer shy at last our feelings buried beneath a moonless sky from... Love Never Dies from, what did we say? What Never Dies? I don't remember. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow us at Broadwasted. You can find on social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. You can find our Facebook group, Kevin Runs That, with Theater Nerdy Stuff. Check out our Patreon. It's super, super fun. You can see lots of cool stuff there. We're doing this fall and whatnot. We're doing a ton of movie musicals, the new ones that are coming out. So check it out there. And then, of course, you can find us on all things podcasts like Spotify, like Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
Thank you.
Megan, again, thank you so much. Break a leg with everything. We love you so much. And as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, Zudua Bum. Cheers. Again, that really doesn't work either.
No.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.